Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Just what is a good minister? You think about what Paul is telling Timothy in this letter on how to conduct himself in the church. He just got done giving instructions for the position of women, the role of women in the church. He gives instructions then for qualifications of elders, bishops, and deacons and their wives. He then goes on and he talks about, brace yourself, some people are going to depart from the faith. And I want to pick up there as we think about this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And this follows bishops, deacons, their wives, their families are in order. He says, you know the reality, Timothy, some are not going to stay with the race. They're going to depart. Let us move on as we think about what Paul has written here. They give up to seducing spirits. They go to lies and hypocrisy. They have their conscience seared. Forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats. I think a key point that we saw in this is Jesus Christ prayed for the very food that he multiplied the fish and the loaves. I think that's amazing. Rather than abstain from foods, yes, there are some that we should discipline ourselves in moderation or avoidance, but even the foods that Jesus Christ multiplied, he had to bless. We live in a sin-sick world. Folks, pray for your food. Pray for your food. And by the way, we're all going to die anyway, right? Yes, we need to live a healthy life as God can bless and give us the wisdom to care for these bodies, but we're all one day going to go to the grave. We're now going to see what makes a good minister. We're going to see in verses 6 through 8 of chapter 4, a good minister instructs believers about false teachers and preaches spiritual development. In 9 and 10, a good minister is a man dedicated to the Scriptures. 11 and 12, a good minister commands and teaches these things. And in 13 through 16, he tends to his personal spiritual life. We're not going to get so much into tonight the other side of the coin, but maybe you would do well to meditate on what it doesn't say. He didn't say a good minister did this, this, or this. He said this. Because sometimes we can get the wrong expectations, and then we're disappointed. Let us see, let us read our text verses. I want to cover all of tonight, 6 through 16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. There's our text. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I have broken this passage out into four general areas where I see a good minister and the characteristics thereof. Within those four areas, there are several key points. I want to consider verses 6 through 8, Paul is wrapping up his admonition about those who are leaving, and he continues on. In 6 through 8, I believe that we can categorize this: a good minister instructs believers about false teachers and preaches spiritual development. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Let me quote, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Paul has warned Timothy of the apostasy and false teachings that were to come into the church. There will be men who profess to the faith and then come to the place where they deny it. In turn, Timothy is to warn the believers about these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Every believer is a minister, but here Paul has in mind Timothy as a teacher of the Word of God. That is a gift that some men have and some don't. But all believers are ministers. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, this is how the believer is to grow in the Word of God. We are not to go off on tangents about diet or some other aesthetic program as if it would commend us to God. Instead, our diet is to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. Some interpreters think there was the danger in Ephesus in the midst of so much false religion and work of Satan that Timothy would go off into it all. But Paul said that Timothy had attained unto all things that he has mentioned and commends him for it. Paul has warned Timothy about apostasy and false teachings, but he will mention more things that Timothy should avoid. First, here we're going to see his spirituality. He refuses frivolous speculations. Verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Periodically, people will come and ask questions, of which I basically say, I don't know, and I don't pursue it. Can I tell you the field usually it comes in? Speculation of prophecy. I understand God gave us prophecy, and it is good, and it must be studied. It's part of the Scriptures. But when we start to speculate too much, it becomes a distraction, and this must not be. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Did Adam have a belly button? I don't care. Right? Don't get hung up on this stuff. Don't get hung up on this. And old wives' fables. Rather exercise thyself unto godliness. You know, I think it's interesting as we keep it in the flow of the text, what did he just tell us in the preceding verses? Some are going to depart from the faith. What do you think they're going to be talking about? Profane and old wives' fables is going to be part of their teaching. And he's saying, refuse it. Rather, get yourself into the Word of God and into sound doctrine. Surely those that have embraced the doctrines of devils by seducing spirits, they're going to be promoting this. Folks, don't get off on this stuff. Beware. He says, rather exercise yourself unto godliness. In place of these fables and old wives' tales, immerse yourself in truth. Exercise yourself unto godliness. To train as an athlete. And you figure, back in the ancient world, it was well known that they had the Olympic Games. They understood athletic competition. And he is saying, exercise yourself as an athlete, but do it unto godliness. As an athlete develops himself for competition, so the man of God exerts discipline in the Word of God. And we exercise ourselves to godliness. And get this too, he has his priorities in order. Spirituality is of far greater importance than physical development. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that's now, and that's which is to come. Listen, we can keep ourselves in peak physical condition, and then they're going to put this body in the grave, and we're going to go off into eternity. I am not against maintaining your body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But folks, keep it all in perspective. What is more important? We must eat right, and I'm not against people taking a walk or maybe going down to a gym. I'm not against that. But when it becomes our goal and priority in life, now I've got a problem. This is not what we're to be focusing on in life. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. This is what matters. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Do you exercise? Do you physically exercise? Maybe sometimes do an assessment and say, you know, if I'm going to give an hour to exercise, do I give an hour to Bible study? Ask yourself that question sometimes. Is it balanced? Do I put a really, honestly, an effort into Bible study? I'm not against you taking care of your body. But folks, don't make that your priority. Why will you dedicate that time to physical exercise, but not to knuckling down in the Word of God and digging and seeing what God has for us? Quote, outward acts of self-denial profit little. What will it avail us to mortify the body if we do not mortify sin? No diligence in mere outward things could be of much use. The gain of godliness lies much in the promise, and the promises to godly people relate partly to the life that's now, but especially to the life that's to come. I have said it from time to time throughout the years. When you go on vacation, do you remodel your hotel room? No, because you know you're going home. Yes, you probably want the bed made up and you keep your things in order. But folks, how much do you put into a hotel room? Look at 1 Timothy 6:7. This is later on in this very letter. For we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out. Folks, there is no U-Haul behind a hearse. We don't take anything with us. We're going to leave this world as we came into this world, and only what we did for Christ is going to last. I see a warning here. I have had people literally stop coming to church because on Sunday they have soccer, and then they have Little League, and then they have this, and football, and it's, you know, what are you teaching your kid? You're teaching the opposite. Paul said, physical exercise profits little. And you're teaching your child, this is more important than church. I'm not against sports. I played sports too. Keep it in balance. Keep it in balance. The second thing we see here in verses 9 through 10, a good minister is a man dedicated to the Scriptures. The importance of truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy 4:9. Paul is pointing out, listen, what I just said is worth receiving it. Accept it. He says a similar thing in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He's making a point. Listen, what I just said is very important. Listen to me. This is important. Life is all about God. Life is all about God. Look what Paul said in Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Listen, we were put in this world to do our best for God, and whatever we do is for Him. But folks, we must dedicate ourselves to what matters. Paul said, I've got all sorts of accomplishments, and guess what? He said in Philippians, I count them dung. It's not worth anything. It was a waste of time. I look back to things I've accomplished in my past, and some of the things I go, why did I waste my time? Look at Solomon, one of the wealthiest men to have ever lived on the face of this earth. He says in Ecclesiastes 2:10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Talk about the lust of the eyes. He had the money to buy it. He didn't have a CD player. He owned the orchestra. You name it, he had it. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Similar to what Paul is saying, Paul said, what gain is it? It's worthless. Folks, we must be dedicated. A good minister is dedicated to the Word of God and spirituality. This is what we must do. Our labor must be for Him and the things that He wants us to do. Do you realize there is truly coming a day we're going to stand before that God? And we are going to give an account of our lives, what we did as believers to serve Him. This man is going to labor. Let us go back and read here. Verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Do you labor and suffer reproach? I want us to think about this for a minute. While you are busy serving God, people are going to taunt you. People are going to provoke you. He's saying as we labor, who do we labor for? We're laboring in the things of God. We have set aside the weights. We're running the race that is set before us. And we're going to suffer reproach for it. Who do you think some that's going to do that? I really believe Paul in the context is referring back to those in verses 1 through 5, those that have departed from the faith. They're going to taunt. They're going to taunt, speaking lies and hypocrisy. It says we will, as we serve the Lord, we are going to suffer reproach. That means to defame, to chide, to rail at, to taunt, to revile. Taking us back to verse 1 of chapter 4, now the Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some people aren't going to take it, they're going to give in. Some are going to continue to endure the reproach, but don't be surprised when it comes from Christians. Don't be surprised when it comes from believers. This ought not. I think also, as we think about it, it can also, those that have embraced the healthy living. Don't eat that. Don't eat that. Oh, don't eat that. Are you exercising enough? And we are laboring for the Lord, exercising ourselves unto spirituality and godliness, and people are going to be saying, oh, no, no, don't eat that. Oh, you eat that. I can't believe you. You ate that. Yeah, well, I prayed about it. Does that matter? I do believe that some are going to taunt as we do not live this healthy lifestyle that Paul is saying, avoid that. Yes, take care of your body. They're going to promote abstaining from meats that God has commanded is okay. And we're going to be exercising ourselves to godliness. It all must be kept in check, for bodily exercise profits little. I'm sure most of you in this room can probably say there was a time in your younger days you were in a degree of athletic shape. Do you know how quick it goes away? If you don't stay on it? Folks, we don't know when our last breath is. I'm not against basketball and I'm not against treadmills. But folks, you don't know when your last breath is. Let's exercise ourselves unto godliness. And while we're doing that, why do we bother to labor? And while we're laboring, why do we bother to suffer reproach? Because God is real. Having the promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. We look beyond this world. We must always be focused on eternity. This is not a game. Have I ever said that before? This is not a game. We're playing for keeps. One of the biggest dangers, I think, to Christianity is when the devil convinces people he doesn't exist. Oh, it's okay. Didn't God give us the good life? Yeah, what's your definition of the good life? Let's keep that in check. I find it very interesting as I do this study. Timothy is in what city? Ephesus, right? We saw back in Acts chapter 20, the elders of Ephesus were warned that wolves were going to arise even among them. We obviously see a letter written to the church at Ephesus. But I want to give you one other as we think about this. In this chapter of chapter 4, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some are going to be departing from the faith because they're going to go for the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, you have a message to the church at Ephesus. And in that message, it says in Revelation 2:4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee," the church at Ephesus, "because thou hast left thy first love." They were carried away by seducing spirits to doctrines of devils. I think it's interesting so much as referenced about this church in Ephesus. They have left their first love. Of course, who's their first love in Christianity? Jesus Christ. A good minister holds fast to God. Even as we labor and we suffer reproach, we discipline and exercise ourselves unto godliness. And we do this, why? Because we trust God. We trust in the living God who's the Savior of all men. Where does this take us from this study that we've been in with Hebrews? The just shall live by faith. We trust Him. That's why we labor. And sometimes the labor is hard, but we get weary in the work, not weary of the work. We labor. And we labor for God and we suffer reproach while we're going through this. Sometimes people will say things, maybe family members, maybe fellow employees, whatever. And people will taunt. They'll say things. Or maybe from within our own, wolves will rise up. And they'll say things to discourage us. But you know what? Why do you keep going? Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior, capital S, of all men. Yes, for your salvation, but especially of those that believe. What does that mean? That means those who believe in Him for daily living. He's going to save us from a lot of headaches. I believe that capital S is saying He is who's the Savior of all men. Yes, He is. The potential's there if they would trust Him. But those that trust Him, those that believe for daily living, I believe that is what that is saying. He really is going to save you from a lot of headaches if you trust Him. It's one thing to be saved. It's quite another than as a believer, the just shall live by faith. I think that's what he is saying. Please take a look at it. Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith, especially of those that believe. They believe in daily living as a Christian. It's not your salvation. It is your daily living. I believe that that is referring to. Is he going to be your Savior in daily living? If any man, if any Christian, born again Christian, draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure. We're not of them that draw back. We trust God, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're born again, but I believe that's tying in there Christian growth and daily living. God guides and directs when we trust Him. The third section, verses 11 through 12, a good minister commands and teaches these things. He's a teacher. Verse 11, these things command and teach. Command. Timothy, lead your church. Lead your church. As Timothy is laboring, some are going to taunt him. Why? Because he's young. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Stand up and command and teach. Be an example. Be an example to the believers. Teach. Lead. This minister is going to command and teach in various ways as he labors. Some are going to watch him as he endures grief. There will sometimes people will see you. You've been wronged. You're being taunted. You're suffering reproach. And somebody's going to watch and going to say, I learned how to handle that. You handled that really well. That's part of teaching. Our outward testimony. When reviled, do you revile back? When somebody gestures in the street and they cut you off in traffic or whatever, how do you handle it? Handle it well. Be a living example in word. Watch carefully what comes out of your mouth. Be a living example in conversation. That's your manner of life in daily living. He is a living example in charity. That's not just love. That is actually love in action of generosity. I like the word actually when we talk about charities. They have applied themselves to do something, not just talk about it, and it's not just an emotion. Charity is actually an application of your care and concern for others. He says, be an example in spirit. In spirit. In other words, in your thinking and reasoning. Your mental disposition. What kind of guy is it? Is this the kind of guy that you have to look at and all of a sudden he snaps? Does he pop at the mouth? Is he unstable? Does he think through and come out logically what's supposed to be said? Is he a decent person to talk with? This is a good minister. He makes good decisions. Be an example in faith. The very faith in God for daily living and all that you do and say as you labor and suffer reproach. Be an example, Timothy, a young man in purity. Boy, does that scream volumes in a day and an age, especially as we think that he lived in the shadow of such idolatry. Timothy is a young man who could be lured away. Timothy, you keep yourself pure. You keep yourself pure. Mentally, physically, you be pure. And that's going to teach other people. You don't have to live like the world. Be pure in all of your ways. You know what I really believe this is saying? If we were to go back to chapter 3, the qualifications for elders, bishops, and deacons. It says a bishop, remember this, must be blameless. Be an example. Don't just tell me about it. Do you live it? Do you live it in charity and in faith and in purity? Do you really live it? Or is this just, well, the preacher preaches it, which we're supposed to do, preach it, command it. But do you live it? Do you practice what you preach? Deacons, being found blameless. This is a good minister. The fourth section, verses 13 to 16, a good minister tends to his personal spiritual life. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I have put that in a group, his personal study. Yes, exhortation were to exhort others, but it has to come from personal convictions. Give attendance, pay attention to reading. Timothy, give yourself to reading. Give yourself to doctrine. Another thing he says in verse 14, remember your calling. Christian, remind yourself, what are you here for? You're here to serve God. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. Now, in Timothy's case, it was given thee by prophecy. There's some debate on that, how he got it. Personally, I think that means he got it from preaching, and God used the hearing to plant it in his brain, and the Holy Spirit developed it. I think that's what that means. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery of the people. People literally, in his case, saw something in his life and they brought him up and they laid their hands on. Well, not everybody is going to be a minister as Timothy, but everybody has the job to minister. Don't neglect it. God has called you to this. Here's one, verse 15, meditate. Control your thinking. What do you think about? Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. When you meditate, it forms your thinking. It forms your foundational convictions. And as you establish your thinking, so you will react, so you will behave. Give yourself wholly to them until your profiting appears to all. Other people should see the results of your private study and personal discipline in the Scriptures. You can tell me you have a membership to a local gym. Show me. It's a good example. Right? There's a lot of card-carrying members to gyms, but their waistline denies their membership. Folks, in our spirituality, I can tell you, you can tell me, we can tell each other, oh yes, I love the Lord. Oh, yes. Does your life appear before all? That thy profiting, do you profit from your study in the Scriptures? Other people should see it. And the last point we have in verse 16, make sure your doctrine is correct, because that's going to help you help others. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, if you take heed to yourself and doctrine, you're going to save yourself and them that hear thee. I believe, again, that's back to not salvation, but in daily living. If you will listen, the encouragement that others give you, the words of God, it's going to save you. Boy, oh boy, was I going to make a mistake tomorrow. Because somebody took heed and shared doctrine with me, I don't just pop at the mouth anymore, because that really got me in trouble throughout the years. It's going to save you a lot of headaches, for example. See the point? Take heed unto thyself, Timothy, good minister, and unto doctrine. You watch your personal doctrine, continue in it, because if you do this, you're going to save yourself. It's going to teach you to properly behave in this life. It's going to save you a lot of headaches, because you're going to conduct yourself properly, and those that hear you, it's going to help them also. Want to be a good minister? There's a whole lot in that chapter. The truth is, we could have broken that down and spent months on it. And I surely don't mean to minimize it. But we got a Bible we're trying to get through. And you know, as we keep applying ourselves to the Word, we will be seeing these truths over and over and watching God bless.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.